Go right ahead, sis. Amen. Yes, always, always. And he's right on time, whether we think he is or not. Amen. I appreciate that good singing tonight. Brother Tommy, I want you to come and sit on the platform with me tonight. Don't you get your Bibles out, and I want you to keep them out. We're going to look at quite a few verses of Scripture tonight. Brother Tommy, that top one's an RSV. I've got it marked where that pen is. We can use the NIV more than the other. Okay. Amen. Y'all glad you saved? Say amen.
Amen.
Listen, we're going to turn to three scriptures to begin with tonight. And as I just give you the thought, I felt the Lord had put on my heart. I've been thinking about it for a couple of weeks. Brother Freddie had told me the other day that he had kind of hit on this or actually taught on it in class. And I've preached this right here in this pulpit before, but it's been several years ago. And I just feel like maybe it's timely and it's probably always needful. If we were going around the room tonight and list one another's sins, and we won't do that. Say amen right there.
Amen.
But if we were to go around the room tonight and list one another's sins, chances are many of them would be different. Would you agree? One thing that tempts you may not tempt me. And what tempts me may not tempt you. But I guarantee you, you do have an area of temptation. Now, we're going to put our finger tonight on a sin that I believe causes more trouble in our church than any other sin. I believe it causes more trouble than adultery. I believe it causes more trouble than addiction. I believe it causes more trouble than any other sin. You might. When we think of sin, we think of gross stuff, don't we? When we say sin, our mind automatically goes to something that we would consider really bad. But the devil is smooth. The Bible said in Genesis that he was more subtle than any beast of the field. That word subtle, you got to go to Bible school to get this. What that means is slicker than snot on a doorknob. That's who he is. He's sharp, he's cunning, he's crafty. Here's what he likes to do. He loves to slip something in that you cannot detect yourself and cause it to tear down your life spiritually. Indefinitely drive a wedge between you and God. And we're going to deal with a sin tonight that I deal with and that I guarantee you that every person in this room deals with in some way, shape, or form. And that's the sin of pride. The sin of pride. I wonder how many of you be guilty and say, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of being prideful. Every one of us are proud. You know what? We're taught to be proud. We are taught from our childhood that we ought to be proud. We should be proud of this. We should be proud of that. Lee Greenwood wrote that song and sang it. And I love the song, but it's sinful. I'm proud to be an American. Boy, it's getting quiet now. Y'all stay with me. I'm going to show you something tonight. Amen. Pride will keep you from getting right with God. Pride will keep you from getting right with each other. Amen. Pride will destroy a church. I've seen it do it over and over and over. I've seen churches split to where if two little groups had have just got together and said, hey, it's my bad, I'm sorry, they'd have been all right. But they were so full of pride, they could not admit that they were wrong, and they wound up devouring one another. I know of a church right now, if I'd said the name of it, you'd know exactly where it's at. But I know of a church where the preacher left and the congregation was so divided, you had husbands going to one church. The preacher left and started another church. And we had the husband going to one church, the one that had the trouble and the preacher left, and the wife going to the one the preacher started. Do you reckon God's in that? Brother, I'm talking about that's division right there. When you have a church problem that literally splits families down the middle, something's wrong.
Amen.
And you can blame it on this and you can blame it on that, but the key problem is pride. Amen. Look at Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter number 16, then we're going to Jeremiah. And I've got Tommy up here with me tonight. He's going to help me a little bit. You don't have to turn to these, Brother Tommy. I'll tell you when it's time. Proverbs chapter number 16. Are y'all there? Look at verse number 15. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18. I'm sorry. Everybody got it?
Bible said, say the first word with me.
Pride.
Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall.
You're to quote that and get that verse to memory tonight before you leave here. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction. In other words, before you self-destruct, your heart will fill with pride. Would it be okay to put it like that? Before you self-destruct, your heart will be filled with pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Let's get clear what the Bible has to say about pride. Amen. Amen. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 13. Jeremiah chapter number 13. Just over to your right a couple of books. Jeremiah chapter number 13. Say amen when you get there. Jeremiah 13 and verse number 15. Did I tell you right? Jeremiah 13, 15. Hear ye and give ear. Be not what?
Proud,
for the Lord hath spoken. Go to the New Testament all the way over to the book of James, right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. Say amen when you find that one. And keep your Bibles out tonight. We're going to look at some stuff. Several verses of Scripture. No real preaching. I just want to give you a Bible truth that I believe will help you tonight. James chapter number 4. Look with me at verse number 6. The Bible said, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the what? The proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He said, God resisteth the proud. When our heart is filled with pride, God has to put up a resistance against that. Would you agree? That's just like bearing iniquity in your heart. It'll separate between you and your God. And I would just be willing to say, just from the three verses that we've read tonight, that pride is a sin. Would you agree? Would you agree? Pride's a sin. And I'm going to show you why. I'll show you what we ought to be instead of proud. And I'll get to that in just a minute. But I'll show you how smooth the devil is. Some of you can't get victory in your life over this or over that, and it's simply because of pride. I watch marriages fall apart because of pride. All because some proud, big, macho he-man can't bow his head and say, I'm wrong, I've been a bad husband, I'm sorry. Nobody wants to say, it's my fault. You know what causes that? Pride. Pride. When we got trouble in our lives, here's what the flesh likes to do. Well, it's over here in the deacons. It's over there in the assistant pastors. It's the preacher or it's this person or it's that person. No, 9 times out of 10, it's me. And 9 times out of 10, when you're having a problem, it's you. When you get rid of pride, you can deal with a whole lot of stuff like you ain't never been able to deal with stuff in your life. You know what? When you get rid of pride, you don't get your feelings hurt quite so easy. When you get rid of pride, every little thing doesn't just rub you the wrong way. People can write stuff on Facebook about you, and when you get rid of the pride, it'll cause you to laugh instead of get mad.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I don't get mad at lies. I know they're not true. Amen. I don't worry about that. We need to get this pride issue dealt with. It'll make a difference in your home. It'll make a difference in your family. It'll make a difference in how you deal with your children. And it'll make a difference in your church when you get pride out of your heart. Amen. Now, I want to show you how smooth the devil is. I'm talking about slick, friend. Somebody said, somebody asked me a while back, said, y'all sure do make a big deal about the King James Bible. Yes, we do. And I'm going to show you why tonight. I'm going to show you why we are so funny about this Bible. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And I'm going to read some verses. And then I'm going to get Brother Tommy to read them out of the NIV. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. It'd help if I was in 2 Corinthians, wouldn't it? Make it chapter number 5. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Now listen, we have just read in Jeremiah where God said, be not what? Be not proud. Now, Brother Tommy, get that Revised Standard Version you got right there under you. I got two. I needed one more Bible, but I couldn't find one. Brother Tommy's got the Revised Standard Version. I'm going to read a verse out of the King James Bible, and then Brother Tommy's going to come read it out of the Revised Standard Version. I'm going to show you how smooth the devil is, how sharp he is, how cunning he is, and how wise he is. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5,
and verse number 12. Y'all looking at it? Paul said, "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart."
Brother Tommy, come read it in your Bible.
It says, "We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to be proud of us, so that you may be able to answer those who pride themselves on a man's position and not on his heart."
Did y'all catch that? Amen. Now, in Jeremiah, where did we read from? Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse number 15. Guess what the RSV says?
"Be not proud." But yet then again, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, it turns right around and says, "We give you cause to be proud of us." Amen. The devil's slipping that word pride in, making us think that it's okay to be proud. And there's never an occasion where it's okay to be proud. Never an occasion. That's going to be a hard pill for some of you to swallow, but there is never an occasion where it is okay to be proud. "Yeah, but I'm proud of my children." No, you should be thankful for it. When you're proud, that gives you the glory. Let me say it again. When you're proud, that gives you the glory. But when you're thankful, that gives God the glory. Does that make sense? Now take your Bible and look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Brother Tommy, get it in the NIV. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Y'all doing all right? 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Look with me at verse number 4. Are you there? Paul said, "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation." Brother Tommy, if you've got it, come on.
It says, "I have great confidence in you. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged in all our troubles. My joy knows no bounds."
Did you catch it again? He said, "I take great what? Pride in you." So far we've got two verses where they have inserted the word pride or proud, where the Lord said to be not proud, where the Lord takes pride away, the devil puts it in place. Why? Because he knows if he can get you to have a proud heart, he's going to drive a wedge between you and God. If you get so proud, you'll get to the place where you can't even get a prayer answered. Amen. Let's see here. Galatians chapter number 6. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Galatians chapter number 6. Y'all still doing okay? Galatians chapter number 6. Brother Tommy, get that in the NIV. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 4. Say amen when you're there. Amen. He said, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." Brother Tommy.
"Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else."
Are y'all getting it? James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. Last one for a few minutes. James chapter number 1, but don't put your Bibles away. James chapter number 1 and verse number 9. Say amen when you get there. James chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away." Brother Tommy, would you read the NIV?
"The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower."
Y'all seeing what's happening? He's inserting that thing of pride over and over. When you say he, who are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the devil. I believe he is very good at what he does. Amen. He can slide something in on you so fast it'll make your head spin. I know preachers in this town are near here in this area that just in the last months have given up their King James Bible and gone with something lesser. Right. Yeah.
Amen. Why is it so important? Why is it so important? Because of these slick little things just like that right there. You said, but yeah, but pride's not a big deal. It's worse than adultery. I don't know of anybody in our church right now who's having an adulterous affair. There may be, I pray not. But I guarantee you I can point my fingers at some that's got pride issues. Amen. I don't know anybody in the church right now that's hooked on crack. But I know some people who's dealing with this issue of pride. Don't tell me it's not important. It is very, very, very important. Listen, these false translations, they omit fasting. They do away. Where Jesus said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting, every other version does away with fasting and just ends it at prayer. Why? The devil don't want you fasting. That's a tool in our arsenal. Listen, if the devil wants to take fasting out, should we preach fasting? I say we should, amen? You don't hear many Baptist preachers talk about fasting anymore, but it is a spiritual tool that we have in our arsenal to fight against the wiles of the devil, amen? If he takes out fasting, we ought to preach fasting. Listen, these false translations add pride. If they add pride, we ought to preach humility. Amen. If they're going to add pride and show us that it's okay to be proud, we ought to preach humility. The Bible said if a man will humble himself and pray, is that right? If a man will humble himself, the only way you can humble yourself is you've got to get the pride out of your heart. Amen. How about this? Bless God, I ain't apologizing. You know what that is? That's pride. That's exactly what it is. It doesn't matter who's in the wrong. If you won't apologize, you're full of pride. Amen. Sometimes I apologize when I know I'm in the right and someone else is in the wrong just to keep there from being a problem between me and them. Amen. Amen. How many of you men do that with your wife? You're apologizing and you don't even know what for. Somebody say amen right there. Honey, I'm sorry. In the back of your mind, you're going, what did I do? Amen. You just want peace in the home. Is that right? You just don't want to fight. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to fuss and argue. So you apologize for something you don't even know you've done just so that there be peace. If that'll work between you and your wife, why won't it work between you and your brother? Why won't it work between you and your sister? Why won't it work between you and your co-worker? Why won't it? Because you're full of pride. That is the only reason you would not say these two simple little words, I'm sorry. Two of the most important words in the English language, I'm sorry. Well, if she had apologized, what if she don't? If he had apologized to me, what if he don't? You gonna go to your grave bitter? It's your pride, friend. Amen. I've said it just like you have. Bless God, if they'll come to me, I'll forgive them. Now, I need to forgive them whether they come to me or not. Remember what Jesus did? Is Jesus our example? Yes or no? Everybody wears them little bracelets. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, you got a perfect example in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John from the cross where the Lord looked up and he looked at that crowd that put him on the cross. You know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did they ask his forgiveness? Come on, talk to me. Did they ask his forgiveness? Did they come and offer him the right hand of fellowship? No, they didn't. They were making fun of him. They were gambling over his clothes, man. They were jeering. They were cheering that he was being put to death. And while they're cheering, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You can't do that with pride in your heart. You won't do that with pride in your heart. Amen. We still okay? Somebody tell me right quick off the top of your head why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Number one answer, homosexuality, right? That's where most people's mind wants to go. It wasn't homosexuality that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Take your Bible and turn to Ezekiel, back in the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 16. We still doing okay? Ezekiel, what did I say, 16? Ezekiel chapter number 16. Verse number 49. Ezekiel 16 and verse number 49. He said, y'all there? He said, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Watch it. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her,
and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. What was the very first thing he listed in Sodom's problem? It was pride. He didn't mention the men that came and wanted Lot to send out his family to them that they might have their way with. Wanting to send the angels out that they might have their way with them. He didn't even list that. First thing he said was pride.
Amen.
Amen. What is the number one thing wrong in America? It's pride. That's our problem. We're proud to be an American. Our leaders are too proud to admit they have no idea what they're doing. Amen. Our president, I pray for him every day. Is he my choice? No. Won't be next time around neither. He ain't got a clue. But he's too proud to admit that he doesn't have a clue. Those running against him are too proud to admit they don't have a clue. Nobody wants to say, well, I don't know. We need to see what God says about the matter. Amen. They're above that. They're so far above that. That's why you run into so many of these highly educated people, doctors and lawyers, who are atheist and agnostic. You know why? They're above that. They're too proud to believe in something so simple. It's pride. That education, that mind, all that learning, you know what it does? It makes them stupid. Amen. It gets them so full of their self, and they look at their accomplishments and they're above anything else, like admitting God created the heavens and the earth, like admitting that it's God that causes cancer to go away and not their treatment. Amen.
God, amen.
It's pride. Pride is killing our country. It's killing our country, and we need to do something about it. And where does it start? It doesn't start in the White House. It starts in the church house. And here's where we do. We get on this altar. We say, God, help me with my prideful heart. Y'all all right? Pride. It's a bad thing. When we think about what's wrong with us and getting on the altar and getting right with God, if you're not careful, you'll skip right over that one. You'll confess your sins. You'll confess bad thoughts. You'll confess bad words. You'll confess bad deeds, but you won't confess what's in your heart. And that's pride. Amen. Sometimes in messages like this, it's tempting to name names. I know people out in this church that are out of church tonight. They didn't leave here and go join somewhere else. They're not in church. They quit. They quit. You know why? Pride. Pure and simple pride. I'm thinking about one guy who's on my mind right now, and I called the fella up. I met with him. I apologized that I didn't know what for. And here's what he said. I'll never forget. Here's what he said. Well, there's just been so much said and done now, I couldn't come back. You know what that is? It's pride. It's pride. Let me tell you something. You don't never have to hang your head to walk in this place. Everybody in this place has got problems. Everybody's going to mess up from time to time. A just man falleth 7 times, the Bible said, and riseth up again. You're going to make mistakes and you're going to mess up. God forbid I chance my children going up and never hearing the gospel and not being saved and dying, going to hell because I was too proud to go back. Amen. We okay tonight? Sodom's greatest sin was not the homosexuality. That is a sin. It was the pride. Amen. It's the pride. Psalms chapter number 10. Y'all still doing all right? Wonder how many of you the Lord's working on your heart right now. Maybe even thinking about somebody you ought to tell them you're sorry. Psalms chapter number 10. Look with me at verse number 4. Psalms chapter number 10, verse number 4. Y'all there? The Bible said the wicked through what? Through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. He said the wicked through pride of his countenance wouldn't seek after God. Listen, we ought not, I'm going to say it again, we ought not to be proud of anyone.
When I hear my son, I got the tape or the CD. They don't make tapes hardly anymore. I got the CD where Levi preached when I was on vacation. I've listened to that message 3 times.
What a message. Souvenirs from Calvary. I'll never forget that. But the first time I listened to it, I cried about halfway through it
because that was my boy. And it'd be real easy to say, boy, I sure am proud of him. If I'm proud of him, that must mean that's my accomplishment. But that's not my accomplishments. That's God's accomplishment. As I drove down the road, I had to fight that thing of pride swelling up in me and saying, no, God, I'm not proud, but I'm thankful, God. He could have been anywhere in the world. He could have been in jail. He could have been divorced from his wife. He could be out in some gross sin, but yet he's in my pulpit and preaching a great sermon. That's my son, and for that, God, I am thankful. Thankful, thankful, thankful. Oh, it's because you're a good dad. No, it's because I serve a good God. Amen. It ain't me. It ain't my child rearing capabilities. It ain't her mama capabilities. It's our God capabilities. Hey, it's by the grace of God that my son's not out in the ditch somewhere tonight. It's by the grace of God that my boy ain't down at the rescue mission tonight. Hey, I ought to be saying thank you, Lord. Instead of I'm proud of my son. Is this making sense?
If we're not careful, pride will get us. Pride will get us. And when we say, I'm proud of this and I'm proud of that, you know what we're doing? We're just cutting God out.
We're cutting God out. He said in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11, he made everything for his glory. Right? Everything he made to give him glory. Amen. And we're robbing him of that glory. Amen.
Be careful with it. I still slip up. I preached this, I don't know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and I catch myself every time I say it. Every time I say it, I'm proud of this or I'm proud of that. And boy, in the back of my mind, I'm going, that ain't right. That ain't right. And I hope it'll do that in the back of your mind from now on, too. I hope every time you start to say, boy, I sure am proud of you, or I'm proud of this, or I'm proud of that, I hope maybe something clicks in your head and you go, whoa, 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 I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful that I get a paycheck every week. Hey, you see what that does? That gives God the glory instead of you or me. Amen. Don't say I'm proud of my preacher. Don't do that. Don't cut God out of this thing. It's God that's in me, brother. It's not Eddie White up here preaching a message. It's not Eddie White preaching the Bible. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that lives inside me. And bless God, we ought to be thankful. We got a preacher that'll tell us like it is. Amen. Be careful. Be careful with pride. It'll get you. Amen? When you say I'm proud of my church, my country, my family, my children, my job, you're in danger of ruining everything. You're in danger of ruining everything. Because God's sitting in heaven going, you didn't do that. I did. You have no reason to be proud here. That's my work. The Bible said the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Amen. Don't wind up one of those people who are sitting at home on Sunday morning because pride swelled up in your heart. You go to church long enough with the same group of people, somebody in that group's going to rub you the wrong way. Sooner or later. Somebody's going to say something they shouldn't have sooner or later. Well, I'll just get mad and go to another church. Guess what? They do it too. This little church that started up here in town, even the name of their church is a bald-faced lie, the perfect church. I say it all the time. I'll say it again. Don't join it. Y'all will mess up a good thing. There's no such thing as a perfect church. There will be. There will be when we got a body likened unto his. Amen. When we trade this junk we're walking around in for a glorified body like his, then we'll be a perfect church. But until then, we're dealing with this stuff. I'm talking about flesh. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And that flesh is going to swell up with pride every chance it gets. You see what pride does? Pride leads to haughtiness. Pride is the he said, pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before fall. That pride sets in, then that haughty spirit steps in. How many of you know what a haughty spirit is?
Ain't nobody going to tell me.
That's right.
Bless God. A haughty spirit thinks it's better than other people. A haughty spirit elevates itself higher than what it ought to be. Instead of lifting ourselves up, we ought to be putting ourselves down. John said, I must decrease that he might increase. Amen. We okay? I know a lot of Christians who have a haughty spirit. I run into them at Walmart. I see them when they see me and they go the other way. I run my buggy around, cut them off. Hey, how you doing? I like it, man. Y'all all right? Be careful of that thing of pride. Let's see, we're already in the Old Testament. Let's go to Ezekiel. Then we're going to go to Proverbs and finish up. Y'all still going okay? Ezekiel chapter number 16. Ezekiel chapter number 16. Don't go out here and say Brother Eddie ain't patriotic because he said that song, I'm Proud to Be an American, ain't right. I am very thankful to be an American. God could have allowed me to be born anywhere in this world. I could have been born over there in Pakistan. I could be kneeling on a prayer rug right now. I could have a bomb strapped to my chest trying to get me some virgins in heaven. So could you. I'm thankful God allowed me to be born. I'm thankful he allowed me to be born in the South. Say amen, Brother Keith. Amen. I'm thankful I was born where the Bible is preached on every corner. I'm glad I was born where the Bible's not a rarity. Amen. We ought to be thankful for that. Amen. Ezekiel chapter number 16 and verse number 49. Have I already read that? I did. I'm going to read it again. I turned over there. I'm going to read it. Oh, yeah, it's talking about the sin of Sodom. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Yeah. Listen, friend, go back to Proverbs. We ought to ask God to help us. Proverbs chapter number 6. We ought to ask God to help us. Lord, help me with the issue of pride in my heart. I promise you, you may not do it today, but in the days to come, this thing will click in your mind somewhere.
Yes, amen.
With your children, with your family, on your job, whatever the case may be, that thing's going to come out. And you're going to remember this message. When that word proud or pride pops out of your mouth, you're going to go, yeah. Lord, I'm sorry. I meant to say I'm thankful for my children.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for my children. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. I'm going to give you about 5 or 6 verses of Scripture and we'll go to the house. Proverbs chapter number 6 and verse number 16. Proverbs 6, 16. The Bible said, these 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination to him. Now, listen to me carefully. Look up here. God is fixing the list for you. 6 things that he hates.
Yeah.
Now, brother, that's a strong word coming from the Lord.
Amen.
He's fixing to give you a list of things that he absolutely despises with a hatred.
Yeah.
Look at verse number 17. What's the first one?
Proud.
A what?
Proud.
A proud look. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, of a false witness, speaking lies, sowing discord among the brethren. I mean, boy, he goes through there and he says, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. But the very first thing he said he hated was a proud look.
Amen.
The very first thing. Listen, that's on the bottom of our sin list. If you be honest, that'd be the last thing you're going to confess to God. You're going to get rid of all this other stuff. All these evil thoughts, imaginations, he mentions them. But after he mentions pride,
yeah.
Amen. That must be pretty important to God, mustn't it?
Yeah.
If I'm going to list the things I hate, what am I going to put first? The thing I hate the most. If I'm going to make a list of things I hate, I'm going to list first the things I hate the most. Chicken liver would be right up there. Be right up there somewhere close. Wouldn't be pride on my list. No, be chicken liver.
Amen.
Y'all all right?
Yeah.
We're going to take the thing we hate the most, and that's going to be number one on our hate list, right? You think God's any different? God's giving you His hate list. This is what God hates. Very first things He mentioned, proud look. He can't stand it. Let's see, Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8, look at verse number 13. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Watch this. What else? Pride and arrogancy. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. If pride's not such a big issue, I wonder why there's so many verses on it. Proverbs chapter number 11. Just turn over a page. Proverbs chapter number 11. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Look at verse number 2. Proverbs 11, verse number 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. What did he say? When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Proverbs chapter number 13. Just keep going to your right. Proverbs chapter number 13. Look at verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs chapter number 16. Reckon the Lord is concerned about this thing of pride? Proverbs chapter number 16, look at verse number 5. Everyone that is proud in heart, now watch this one, is an abomination to the Lord. Wow. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Look at, 16? Look, go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter number 18. These aren't my thoughts. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter number 18. Look at verse number, I believe it's 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is what? Haughty. And before honor is humility. Look at Proverbs 21. Almost done. Proverbs 21, look at verse number 24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. I don't get mad, I get even, right?
Amen.
Do me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong back. That's what he's talking about.
Amen.
Let's read it again. Verse number 24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. Better be careful about that getting even. I think the Bible says something about vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will recompense. It's not our job to get even with people. Amen. Our flesh, when we're done wrong, we want to do it back to the one who done it to us, but do it back to them worse than they did it to us. Is that right? That's proud wrath is what that is. Look at Proverbs chapter number 28. Proverbs chapter number 28. Two more verses. Look at verse number 25. The Bible said, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. I've always wondered what causes that in the church. I always wonder, just Lord, what is it that causes strife? Well, He just said it
right there. Pride. When there's strife in the church, there's somebody with a prideful heart. Every single time. When there's strife in the home, there's somebody with a prideful heart.
Y'all agree? It's just a book, isn't it? It's just the Bible. Let me read that thing again. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. I'd rather be fat, wouldn't you?
Amen, brother.
Look at chapter 29. Verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit.
Yes, sir.
One more verse of scripture if you got time.
Isaiah chapter number 57. We'll close with this. If I can find Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 57. Be honest. Do you give that thing of having pride in your heart? Have you give that much thought in the past? Have you dealt with it in your heart and in your life? Have you ever got on the altar and confessed it before God? God, forgive me of being prideful. You might be surprised what God will do. You humble yourself. Amen. Amen. Well, what you got to do is get rid of self. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 57, look with me at verse number 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble and to receive the heart of the contrite ones. I'd say the Lord likes humility, wouldn't you? And I'd say the Lord hates pride, wouldn't you? Now listen.
Thank you, Brother Tommy. Pride is not something you can deal with by yourself. You can't do it. You cannot beat it. It's bigger than you. It's one of those sins that you can't really see outwardly. Sometimes you can, but you can have pride in your heart and nobody know it. It'll show itself sooner or later. It's one of those things that you're going to have to deal with spiritually, and you need help with it. I had that in my heart for a long time. I had bitterness against my dad. I'm glad when the Lord called my daddy home, things were right between me and him. Do you know what I had to do? I had to forgive. And the only way I could forgive, I had to swallow some pride. So did he. And God gave us a relationship just for a few short years, as close as any daddy and son could ever be. But pride had to go. I was preaching at Brother Shea Talent's church in Temple several years ago. He said, turn around, shake hands with our visitors, and blah, blah, blah. I turned around, and there stood my daddy. He was on the back row. I was on the front row. He started toward me. I started toward him. And we just fell in each other's arms. He said, son, I'm so. I said, don't even say it. I said, let's never go there again. Let's just go forward. Why? He didn't have to say it was gone. God had already taken it out of my heart. But pride was the issue. I thought bitterness was the issue. I thought unforgiveness was the issue, but it wasn't. Pride was the underlying issue. It's easy to forgive when pride's not in the way. It's easy to dig out the root of bitterness and get it out of your heart when pride's not in the way. But I found out it was pride that kept me from it all along. And it's pride that'll keep you from it. And it's pride that'll keep you from a greater relationship, a sweeter relationship with the Lord, because of pride in your heart. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Is that all right tonight?
Amen.
I know it wasn't pew jumping, shouting and hooping and hollering. But boy, we get that pride issue dealt with. You know what we're going to deal with this weekend? I'm just going to tell you. Friday night, Brother David's going to preach, and he's a great preacher. Brother David's going to preach, and I look across this building, and there's going to be some teenage boys sitting there with their arms crossed. Like they're too cool, and they're too tough. That's not the case. They're too proud.
Amen.
I'll give you this illustration, and I'm done. Quite a few years ago, my wife and children and I were in Covington, Kentucky, just across the Cincinnati-Ohio border there. I was preaching in a youth meeting in a tent. When I got to the meeting that certain night, I don't remember what night of the meeting it was. It was a youth rally, that's what it was. That night I came in and the preacher told me, he said, there's members of one of the biggest gangs in Cincinnati here tonight. And he pointed them out. They were all sitting in the back of that tent, had on dark glasses, and had do-rags on their head. never forget this as long as I live. I preached my heart out. Came time for the invitation, they all sit there with their arms crossed. The preacher, Brother Doug, got on the platform, took the microphone, and he began to weep. He said, some of you are going to die and go to hell because you're too stinking proud. He said, you'd come to this altar right now. You want to, but you're too proud. And the leader of that gang, I'm talking about the head honcho, big old tears started rolling out from under them glasses. He come to the altar and got saved. As soon as he did, all his buddies did. The next night, he had a whole van load. Every one of them gangbangers. They asked him, said, man, how'd you get all these guys to come? He said, I told them to get in the car. You're going to church. What happened? One old gangbanger swallowed his pride. And many come to know Christ because of it. Pride will hinder a lot of things. Just don't let it hinder between you and God. Amen? Well, that's the message tonight.